Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Andrew Ditburner, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Old Mutual Wealth Private Clients. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. I think this is the day or the days we've been looking out for, apart from every other sort of macro data that we've been analyzing. But elections has been all we've been talking about. Talk to me about how often you've had to answer election-related questions to your clients.
Good evening, Nastasia. Actually, surprisingly, I think people have become used to elections this year because, I forget how many elections we've had around the world, but I think over 60% of the population has gone to the polls at some stage this year. But without doubt, obviously, tomorrow's election in the US is the event of the year when it comes to elections. And I think one that is very uncertain, I don't think looking back in recent times, American elections have always been fairly close, but this one looks to be even closer. So I think it's very difficult to try and assess what the outcome is going to look like in a couple of weeks' time. Mm.
On that, between yourself and the team, which election-related questions were easier to answer, the SA-related ones or the US one?
Probably the US ones, because the SA ones we're far too close and have far bigger impact, I think, on our day-to-day lives, as we go about them, as opposed to the US elections. Mm. But I think through time, and we've had a bit of a rally in the SA market off the back of what is seen as a very positive outcome. If you look back, particularly in the US, where that's obviously the world's biggest financial markets, irrespective of which party has resided in the White House, markets have tended to do their thing. So whilst we very often get caught up and focus on the short-term results of an election, there's a lot more, that goes into what impacts markets than just politics or elections in the short term.
We'll talk about the market side in a bit. This election cycle, did it have any unusual developments for you compared to other cycles?
If you look at the US, there's been a few unusual aspects to it. I obviously mentioned how close it is. You've got these seven battleground states that are effectively going to call the results, and those are so evenly split, no one actually knows which way any one of those seven states goes. You've obviously had the fact that Biden pulled out, at a fairly late stage, 3.5 months before the election, so a very short presidential race. But with that, he nominated his candidate, I suppose, 10, 15, 20 minutes after he pulled out. So there was no real, democratic nomination process that took place. And I suppose the most recent time that sort of happened is probably in 68 when Lyndon Johnson also pulled out and Humphrey took over from him. And then you've also got, Harris is obviously an incumbent at the moment, so to try and, enforce change while still being an incumbent and try and sell yourself on that change that you're going to make is quite a difficult thing. And it was quite interesting in just looking at it that over the last 188 years, only once has a vice president been elected into the president, that was George Bush in 1988. So if you're vice president, wanting to become the president, it doesn't seem like a very probable outcome for you. But anyway, I suppose time will tell.
Yeah. On that then, is it because people assume that it'll be pretty much of the same unless you're really giving a good policy outlook and you're actually giving more detail as opposed to, I think the Harris one, in the beginning, it was kind of hard to sort of gauge detail on policy, etc. Is it because of that people want really big change? Or is it a thing where it's like, it'll probably be more of the same administrative policies?
Yeah, I suppose you see. Look, I'm not a political scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but just in my reading of it, I think over time you typically see a president's popularity tend to wane. As people get tired of not seeing, I suppose, what's been promised or not seeing change happening quick enough. And as a result, when they go to the polls, they're voting for change. And that's why I say it's quite difficult and probably why only one vice president has been elected into that position, over the last almost 200 years. And I guess it's that need and want for change as people, you know, become impatient, you know, with the current party.
How have markets reacted, you know, as this, you know, election cycle sort of unfolds, whether they it tries to gauge whether Trump could either take it or Harris? What have you observed?
Yeah, so I suppose you can go to any, you know, poll, and I'm talking about a voting poll now, and, you know, you can find one that's going to confirm your bias either which way. You know, but if you look at markets, and funny enough, I was just looking at some betting websites. The betting websites suggest it's going to be Trump, and the markets would suggest it's going to be Trump as well. You know, you've seen equities move higher in recent weeks. You've seen the bond yields, you know, move quite higher, and obviously a stronger US dollar. And I think that all talks to Trump. So I think if Trump does win it, you may not see much of a movement in markets. But I'm in the realm of guessing now. Whereas if Harris wins, I think you might see some you might see some short term volatility there. You know, they've got some quite stark differences, I think, when it comes to their policies and what they want to do. But obviously, what is very, very important is the structure and the makeup of the government. You know, it's not just about who's in the White House, but it's also about, you know, who controls Congress. And that allows the president to push through his agenda, you know, or how strongly he can push through his agenda, depending on whether they control, a party controls the White House and Congress, which is very, very important.
Okay, so let's unpack it a little bit further here, because I mean, let's unpack whether, you know, if we got a Republican sweep or a Democratic sweep, what are you expecting?
You know, what they've campaigned around, you know, and I think Trump is very much pro-growth, you know, more likely to be more inflationary than Harris. Lower corporate taxes, whereas I think with Harris or the Democrats, you're likely going to see higher corporate taxes. You're going to see deficit spending, I think, irrespective of who comes in. But I think you'll see more, you know, fiscal spending coming in from Trump than you would likely see from Harris. You know, and then deregulation is probably going to be a big one. And there'll probably be, you know, the Democrats will probably be slightly more lenient on immigration, which has obviously been a very big talking point in the lead up to this election. Foreign policy will also be very interesting. You know, Trump said he's going to end the wars in one day. It'll be interesting to see how he manages to do that. But he's very much America first. We know what the trade policy will look like with Trump, and it'll probably not be too dissimilar to what it is with Biden should Harris get in. You know, as a result, that's what I say. When you look at what markets have done, Trump, I think, is very much more, you know, equity market friendly and more America first. You know, so when you're seeing higher markets, stronger dollar, and higher bond yields, you know, it all talks suggests Trump, but that remains to be seen.
I can imagine also there could be even more uncertainty given the fact that we're not expecting an immediate election result after voting day. Like, what do we know about what happened during the previous years, 2020, and what we're expecting this time?
Yeah, it's quite a drawn out process. You know, so obviously they vote tomorrow, and it'll be at least, you know, I think Biden, it took 4 or 5 days until, you know, 2000 in Washington, you know, so there's likely to be litigation and questions, you know, and that runs all the way through. I think the Congress actually certifies the election results only on the 6th of January next year. So there's likely, whilst we'll know the immediate results probably within a week, you know, there's going to be quite a bit of uncertainty until Congress actually certifies those election results on the 6th of Jan. And then, you know, even post that up to the inauguration, that there still may be an element of questions around the outcome, as I'm sure it's going to be very close, and we can guess that either party, whoever loses, will likely contest these results. So there'll probably be a bit of uncertainty until the new president moves into the White House on the 20th of Jan next year.
What's your take on what my listeners heard a bit earlier on the Trump trade? I think we also had the Harris trade. I've seen that around financial media. But what's your take on the Trump trade and the Harris trade and these terms that we've come with?
Yeah, so I wasn't listening earlier, so I must apologize. I didn't hear what has been said. But, you know, we can look back at the Trump trade in 2016. You know, and I think one needs to be careful about drawing similarities, you know, to today back to then. I think it's a very, very different environment, you know, that we operate in today than we did eight years ago. When you look at the American economy, you look at where interest rates are, inflation, etc. So, you know, the Trump trade, you know, my recollection of it would talk to, you know, American-facing smaller top companies doing very well I wouldn't pass on it this time around, given that we're in a very different environment with very different market drivers.
When it comes to, you know, we're still in earnings season and, you know, we were talking about tech earnings that came out last week. But when you sort of take an overall gauge of what we've heard from a lot of the corporates in SA, I mean, not in SA, in the US, are they referencing the elections in their results, or is it a thing where they're focusing on fundamentals and what they can control as opposed to the politics?
Yeah, no, so I think it's, look, I haven't listened to all of the results, but I think I've listened to enough, and I battle to recall one management team referring to, you know, trying to manage the cycle and watching the, not trying to manage the cycle, trying to manage the outcome of the elections or managing their business to what the outcome may be. They're not focused on that. That's completely out of their control. Rather, they're focused on delivering the rest of this year's results. They're focused on 2025. And I think, you know, that's what investors should also be thinking about. You can't pass into markets, you know, politics and what's going to transpire come the next few years on the back of who's president. You know, there's a host of other factors that come into the valuations of businesses, etc. But good management teams are able to manage any cycle, you know, whether that's economic or political cycles. So I think, you know, that's what you got to focus on, just owning businesses that are well managed, and believe that the management teams can manage that cycle.
Apart from, you know, who's going to be president in the United States, what are you focusing on that may not necessarily be election related?
What am I focusing on that's not election related? Look, we are very, you know, long term. We're building, you know, private share portfolios or segregated portfolios, you know, and typically our holding periods are around 10 years. You know, so we're not trying to identify short-term themes or trade short-term, you know, macro or politics, interest rates, you know, exchange rates, inflation, whatever, or try and call any of those. As I said earlier, we want to just identify really good businesses that have strong tailwinds or themes that are coming through, you know, that are going to, you know, be a tailwind for company fundamentals for a long time to come, you know. And I think there are many strong themes that are coming through at the moment, you know, just talking a little bit to the elections, national interest, I think is a big one where, you know, especially post-COVID and the trade wars, et cetera, where countries and companies are focusing within themselves and not relying on foreign supply chains, et cetera. So that's a big one. We know the others, you know, demographics, the convergence of technology. You know, I think we at a point in time when there's a huge convergence. Obviously, artificial intelligence sits right at the top, and I think, you know, that theme still perhaps continues for some time to come as all the economy type businesses, you know, take on that technology. Changing consumer patterns is another one. So there's a host of long term secular themes I think that are taking place at the moment, and this could be far better off focusing on them, worrying about what happens tomorrow.
That's very fascinating. I'd love to have you back on the show, Andrew, to talk about those themes and unpack that a little bit more. But thank you so much for your time this evening. That is Andrew Detberner, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Old Mutual Wealth Private Clients.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.